Hey, welcome to Thursday's edition of the Daily Bible Podcast.
You made it back and we are proud.
Yeah, we've got a lot of Psalms to cover today.
And we'll have many more in the following days. This is actually a light day,
Psalm-wise. That's true. It is a light day.
This is an easy day.
Yeah.
Recovery day.
Yep. Hey, we've got something coming up this summer that we've mentioned a couple times here at Compass in our announcement time, but wanted to make you guys aware of it and plug it again on this format, and that is our National Equipped Conference.
Oh, what is that?
Well, it's the national conference where you go to be equipped.
Oh,
yeah,
that makes sense.
So it's a conference similar to other Christian conferences that you've been to, not on scale, but it's a conference wherein we're going to be focusing on the subject of proclaiming a biblical gospel. That's one of our distinctives at Compass Bible Church. We work to proclaim a biblical gospel, and by that we mean that our gospel is not truncated. And it's not added to. It's not compromised. It's not adulterated. And to figure out what that looks like and what is the biblical gospel, it's not hard. We're not saying that we've got a unique approach that no one else has ever had. We're just saying we want to make sure that we are faithful to the message. And so this conference is going to cover that particular topic. It's going to be dealing with the topic of proclaiming a biblical gospel in the midst of the current chaos and in the culture and everything else that we find ourselves in. And so it's going to be a great time. The title is What is the Gospel? It's going to be down in New Braunfels, so it's not far from here. So church, we would love for you to consider attending this with us. Pastor Rod's going to be doing a breakout session. I'm going to be doing a couple of breakout sessions. So our plan is to be down there for the conference, and then we're going to drive back up on Saturday and have church back here. And so we will be back together here in North Texas for our normal church services on that Sunday. But consider joining us. It is June 14th through the 15th, because we will come back before the end of the conference there on the 16th. 2024, New Braunfels, Texas would be a great opportunity to come and spend some time with your church family.
What are you preaching on?
I am preaching on, I've got two that I'm doing. I've got one on the realities of hell and how that factors into our proclamation of a biblical gospel. And then the second one I'm doing is a breakout on when and where to talk about things like creation versus evolution. So
when and where?
Yeah, some of the apologetic issues. How does that factor into our sharing of the gospel? Should it be there? Is it worthwhile to have those conversations? When is it important to move off those conversations to get back to the gospel? Because if we, not to show my hand, but we can convince someone of being a young earth creationist and never get to the gospel, and that person is still going to hell just as much as they were before we had that conversation. So those can be helpful things. We need to be ready to engage on some of those topics of conversation, but we oftentimes confuse or at least we devote more of our time to that than we do to talking to the person about where they're going to spend eternity. And so we need to make sure that is the handmaiden to the gospel and not vice versa.
Okay. So the whole conference about the gospel. Oh, just in case you were wondering, I'm going to do one about the prosperity gospel.
I was going to ask.
Thank you. I was going to ask you a follow-up, but let me just quickly just say, part of this comes from a place of passion because I kind of grew up with this.
Yeah.
I had a younger brother. Some of you guys know the story. I had a younger brother who had this basketball-sized tumor in his stomach when he was just a boy. And my family got really religious really quick. In fact, I credit his illness with I think really got us involved in church. And so we started going to the Benny Hinn Crusades when he was at the Honda Center. I remember that. That was in Anaheim. I remember we would listen to Creflo Dollar at night. So I was really immersed in that culture, steeped in it, even while we were going to, at least part of us are going to this Pentecostal church most weeks. But I started to learn what this was. And, you know, of course, this is my young years. I don't really know any better. So I start, this is what it is. But thankfully, God opened my eyes to see what was wrong with that. And man, I can't wait to share some of my experiences with you guys and also give you some of the red flags, of course, that we're looking for. And also some of the awful, strange, and weird things these guys teach. It's not like it's just almost Christian. It's like a different thing altogether. And if you don't know any better, you might be misled because these guys are on all the Christian, and I'm using air quotes here, Christian television stations.
Right.
So be on the lookout. And I hope we'll see you there at the National Equipped Conference.
June 14th through the 16th.
Through the 15th, because we're coming back. Please come back to church with us. We need you.
Yep.
Stay there.
Yep. Yeah. Come on back on the 15th with us. All right. Well, hey, let's jump into the Psalms, our daily Bible reading for today.
All right.
Beginning in Psalm 7. Psalm 7, it's a Shigeon again. So here, get your kilts out.
Psalm 17, right?
Is that what it is?
That's what you meant to say. Your voice said 7, but your heart said 17.
Is it 17?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I did Psalm 7 on that one.
Okay. So, well, you could still do Psalm 7 if you want to.
Yeah. I think I just messed it up as I was reading it. I'm looking. No, it is Psalm 7, though. It's Psalm 7, not 17. So I typed it wrong up there.
I think you have it right.
I don't.
Let's confirm. Let's pause.
Hold on. We're looking at the actual DBR card right now.
The DBR card might be wrong.
Oh, you know what? We already did Psalm 7.
See?
See that? Okay. Textual criticism. We talked about that this last Sunday. This is how it happens. DBR As I glanced card. Down, I noticed Psalm 7, and I knew that the one coming up had a 17 in it. And so I made a mistake on that. So Psalm 17. Let's go to Psalm 17 then, and we'll talk about Psalm 17 on the fly.
All right.
Psalm 17.
You could do this. You've been a pastor your whole life, basically.
In the shadow of your wings, a prayer of David. Yeah.
You are the wind beneath my wings.
Never mind. I did do it. I just had the wrong note open. So we're good. So,
yeah, man.
All of that consternation.
See? All of that for nothing.
For nothing. For nothing. Anyways, it's a prayer, David, for deliverance from his enemies. So if that sounds familiar to you, well, it should. That's a lot of the Psalms. It's a lot of the Psalms. Verses 1 through 5, David opens with prayers appealing to his integrity. And David's going to do that a lot. He's going to say, look, I've obeyed you. I've been walking in integrity. My integrity is my shield. Language like that. Verses 6 through 12, then David continues praying that God would then protect him. Verse 17, 8, keep me as the apple of your eye. Such an important or such a picturesque
intimate
prayer there that he would protect them as one protects the most important part of their eye. Verses 13 through 15, David prays for God to act against the adversaries, those satisfied by mere common graces, while David is instead satisfied with God. In verse 15, I shall be satisfied with your likeness. And so this is a psalm that is familiar, has a familiar pattern, familiar mold to many of the psalms that we're going to come across, where David is praying that the Lord would deliver him in appealing to his righteousness and his steadfastness in following the Lord as the foundation for that.
I think you should recognize in verse 3 that, like David, you're going to be tried in the places of your heart. You're going to be tested. And ideally, you're going to say to God, you're not going to find anything, I hope. But this is part of every Christian suffering. This is, in fact, one of the defenses Christians will use to identify or to highlight the reason why God allows evil in the life of the Christian and in the life of the world. And part of that is the testing of the Christian and even the improvement of the Christian. Again, David's suffering in the season of life, but this is when he's most prolific in what he writes. And we benefit tremendously because of David's suffering. So don't forget that. You're going to be tested, you're going to be tried, and it's going to be useful as God grows you.
All right, Psalm 35 then. Psalm 35, we get into another prayer from David for guess what? Deliverance. And specifically in this context,
seems
from
like it's on his mind quite a bit,
a situation of warfare, right? And we talked about that he's running for his life, that there's nowhere that he can go and feel like he's safe, except for, as we just left off in yesterday's episode, the Philistines, because Saul's not going to come knocking on the door of the Philistines going, hey, do you guys have a David in there by any chance? And so, yeah, you're right. This is on his mind a lot. Verses 1 through 10 of chapter 35, David prays detailing the situation that he's up against. And we see that the words, verse 3, pursuers, verse 4, those who seek after my life, verse 4, again, those who devise evil against me, verse 7, without cause, they hide their net, verse 7, again, without cause, they dig a pit for my life. And so you've got David up against a significant situation where he's fearing for his life, and there are people that want to kill him. And that's about as bad as it can get from an earthly perspective. And verses 11 through 18, then David prays about the betrayal of one he once thought was a friend. He talks about malicious witnesses in verse 11 and one who repays him evil for good in verse 12. Verse 13 through 14, he says, hey, when this person was sick, I mourned for their sickness. I cared about them. And yet in verses 15 through 16, but when he stumbled, they were rejoicing over his downfall. And so David prays, rescue me from the destruction here. Verses 19 through 21, then David prays for justice in response to the hatred and mockery of the enemy. Verses 22 through 26, David prays for vindication and implores the Lord to act against the enemies, against his foes. And then finally, he concludes by praying a blessing over those that are his friends, over those that are his allies. So this is a psalm where there's some unique situations that are specified here that we can't necessarily pinpoint. This is exactly when this took place in David's life. But he was going through betrayal. He was going through a lot of things that we can probably relate to. And David is trying to work through all of this kind of live with us as he's writing this psalm.
Probably one good thing to take away from this text, and there's many, But one thing that we could suggest to you is verses 27 and 28. When there are times that you have to lament to the Lord, be a really good practice of yours to make sure that you end like David ends, with confidence. What else have you got to get? You know, what else you got to do? It's like Peter, Lord, to whom else shall we go? You alone have the words of life. And I think that's a helpful aspect of David's cry and concern. He lays it out seriously. He's not holding back, but he ends with, great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of his servant. Then my tongue shall tell of your righteousness and your praise all the day long. So it's an anticipation of God's future deliverance. And it's also a declaration of his goodness here and now. The Lord is great. He's great. He delights in the welfare of his servants. I know this is to be the case. I know this is the truth. And this is, as you often say, Pastor PJ, it's kind of a germ form of David preaching the gospel to himself. And you would do well to do the same.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Psalm 54, then we read in the title some more information here when it says that this is when the Ziphites went and told Saul, is not David hiding among us? So this is right before David goes down into Saul's camp in the middle of the night with Abishai. And Abishai says, let me strike him with my spear. I won't miss. And David spares Saul's life again, but this is around that same time as David is betrayed by some more of the people there. And again, in Psalm 54, a common Davidic prayer for deliverance and assertion of confidence in the Lord as his helper and his stronghold. These themes show up time and time and time and time and time again. And it's a reminder to us that David finds himself over and over and over again in a situation where he needs deliverance. Now, that might seem like maybe God's not responding to him very well. If David's praying, hey, God, deliver me from this. And that's something that we should bear in mind, that sometimes when we pray to God, hey, God, deliver me from this trial that I'm in, that doesn't mean that he's going to deliver you from every trial that could ever befall you. That doesn't mean that there won't be another trial next month, next week, tomorrow, necessarily. And so the fact that we are delivered from one trial does not mean that we're delivered from every trial. That's not a reality that any of us are going to enjoy this side of eternity. But the encouragement that we can take away from David is that God hears our prayers. That's one of the things that shows up time and again in the Psalms, is David will say, and the Lord heard my prayer and responded. And so here again, David is praying for deliverance. And one of the things that's helpful, you mentioned in the last one as well, but here in verses 6 and 7, David declares that he's going to worship the Lord as good for the deliverance he had already experienced. And so as he's praying that God will continue to deliver him, he's saying, I'm going to, with a free will offering, I'm going to sacrifice to you, I'm going to give thanks to your name, for it's good, for you have delivered me from every trouble, and my eye has looked on triumph on my enemies. So David doesn't forget God's past goodness to him, even as he's praying for future deliverance as well.
And what an important reminder for us that there's no guarantees in this life. Even if you have had a relatively pain-free, suffering-free existence, there's no guarantee that that's always going to be the case. So make sure you count your blessings. I know Grandma used to say that for some of you guys, or Grandpa. It's important that you recognize every day is a gift. Every opportunity that God affords you is a blessing, something not to be taken for granted. Ensure that your life is constantly reflecting on what God is doing. Even as you lament and cry for the things that's happening, you can still, and you should still, always rejoice and count your blessings.
Amen. Amen. Psalm 63, then. Here we have the title simply telling us that David was in the wilderness of Judah. That could be anytime, any place. And David spent a long time in the wilderness of Judah, an area that he was well acquainted with. And so in this, in verse 1, we find a plea of desperation expressing his longing for God in tangible ways. I love the language here. Oh, God, you're my God. Earnestly, I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. And that question, have you ever been there? Have you longed for God to that level, that you long for water when you're parched, when you're just desperate for a drink? David feels that about God and desires to be with him. And we have to remember, David's been on the run. He's been away from the tabernacle. He's been away from the tangible place of worship for this entire time. And so he feels isolated. In fact, that's one of the things that he says to Saul at some point. He says, Saul, why won't you let me return home? Why are you going to let my blood be spilled out here away from the presence of God, away from the place of worship? And so as David is praying, God, you're my God, my soul thirsts for you, my flesh faints for you. Part of that is he has not been able to worship the Lord corporately with the people of Israel this entire time that he's been on the run.
Psalm 63 is one of my favorites. I mean, I'm pretty sure I'm not alone in that. I think lots of people would say that, but man, just again, the language, it's almost as if God is extracting some of the best and most fruitful thoughts that David has by putting him in the pressure chamber of suffering. Like what's being squeezed out of him are these incredible phrases that, again, I can't help but disassociate this idea here. Suffering and the Psalms go hand in hand. And the beauty about this is that David's experience is not atypical. I mean, all of us are going to suffer to varying degrees. But I love the way he says this, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. Which is to say, it does not depend on circumstance or context. It just depends on the fact that I'm going to do this because your love, which permeates every aspect of my life, is always going to be consistent. And I can always know and depend upon that. And that's the reason he grounds his worship. He says, look, I can worship you no matter what season, because your love, which permeates everything, is always available. It's always consistent, which is the nature of steadfastness. It doesn't cease. It continues. So wherever you are today, we hope that you'll rejoice and love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, because his steadfast love is better than life. Which is to say that it's the greatest and the highest and the choicest of things that you can enjoy this side of heaven. And it will be that the other side of heaven too.
Yeah, which is why he can say, and this is where the title helps us understand the psalm to a greater level than if we don't pay attention to things like this. Because again, he's in the wilderness. He's on the run. He's in the desert. He doesn't know necessarily where his next meal is going to come from. He's longing for, he's panting for the Lord. Then look at verse 5. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate upon you in the watches of the night. There's that idea that you were just talking about, PR, about that satisfaction that he can have while he's in the midst of the wilderness. His physical circumstances, no one would look at that and say, yeah, you're going to be satisfied with rich and good food in the midst of that. And yet his true food is the Lord. His true desire is the Lord. And that's why he can pray that.
It's kind of what Jesus says when the disciples come up to him and they're asking him, hey, Jesus, aren't you hungry? You know, and he's talking to that woman. He says, right. That food that you don't even know about.
Right.
His food is to do the will of God. And I think that's what David is saying.
Yeah.
Here, it's a sense of what, I mean, maybe you've felt this before, Pastor PJ. When we're working unto the Lord and it's preaching or serving in some capacity, sometimes it just feels like I don't need food. I'm enjoying this so much. I'm just plowing away. This is amazing. Or maybe even in sermon prep, I suspect you've had that experience. Sometimes we put upon the Lord, we cast this idea upon him that it's burdensome to serve him. It's hard. It's heavy. And sure, there are hard edges to it. But to be a Christian is to enjoy rich and fast, not fast food, fat food, fat and rich food.
Fast food.
Yeah. Fast food, I suppose. Yeah, that too. But to enjoy him is to enjoy the richest of fares. That's old school language for you there, but that's the idea here. He's not a dour and sour God. To be a Christian is to have a God that loves to generously bless his kids. Fat and rich food is not lean. It's not just vegetables.
Right.
It's not just lentils and vegetables. This is God saying, look, I'm pulling out all the stops for you. And that's what it's like to be a Christian. That's the inner life of a Christian who's connected well to his God. And what again, I love this psalm for all of its vivid imagery. But this is available for us today and perhaps even more so because of the work of the Spirit.
Yep. Yep. Amen, amen. We'll keep reading your Bibles and join with us tomorrow as we continue with the Daily Bible Podcast.
We hope you do. Come back soon, y'all.
Bye. Hey, thanks for joining us for another episode of the Daily Bible Podcast. We hope and pray this has been a blessing to you and your time in the Word. If it has, if you would subscribe to this podcast, leave a like, leave a comment, and share it with some friends and family, that would be awesome. If you need more information about Compass Bible Church here in North Texas, you can go to compassntx.org. Again, that's compassntx.org. And we'll be back with you tomorrow for another episode of the Daily Bible Podcast.